time, and we'll begin. Lord, teach us that you satisfy us. Teach our hearts to delight and hope in you through your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, one of the reasons why I love Scripture so much is because God gave it to us so that we would have hope. Paul says in Romans 15:4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And the book of Hebrews is a book very much about hope. The author says that it's a word of exhortation. It's intended to help us reach a goal. And Hebrews is about how Christ, in his person and in his work, encourage us to pursue the Christian life. The author says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." The author of Hebrews presses all of his theological genius to this end, to encourage Christians to hold fast to Christ in faith. And in Hebrews 11, the author looks at the Old Testament and Old Testament Christians to remind us of God's faithfulness to his people. The author of Hebrews wants his audience to persevere in faith, to not turn their back on Christ, because he has never turned his back on us. And in our text tonight, God first teaches us about the nature of faith and a saint with great faith, Noah. So let me read our passage. Hebrews 11, 6-7 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." In Hebrews 11, 6 and 7, God helps us to first see the pleasure of faith in verse 6. And in verse 7, he helps us to see the practice of faith. So let's first look at the pleasure of faith. In verse 6, the author of Hebrews says that faith pleases God, and it is a pleasure for the Christian. Verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Faith pleases God, and we cannot please God apart from faith. Why? Well, that little word "for" gives us a twofold reason. First, because faith believes that God exists. And second, it believes that God rewards those who seek him. The author does not intend for us to think that a God exists or some God exists. He wants us to believe that the true God exists, the God of Scripture, the God of Hebrews 1-10, the God of Psalm 36, the abundant God, the good God, the kind God. God is pleased with faith because in faith we believe who he says he is. In trusting him, we draw near to him. And in faith, we're exactly where God wants us. We're next to him. We are with him. We're made safe in him. We take refuge in the shadow of his wings. Listen to this. This is Zephaniah 3:17. This verse blows me away. "The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love, and he will delight in you with singing." However, there is another sense to the pleasure of faith. God is not only delighted in our faith. Faith is the delight of the Christian. Look at again verse 6. "Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Because God is merciful and generous, he rewards those who seek him by faith. And what is this reward? What is this great gift from God to the Christian? Well, it's God. It's God himself. God is our reward. In faith, God becomes our abundance, our river, our fountain, our light. In a word, He gives us Jesus Christ. Abraham drew near to God by faith. And what did God say to Abraham? Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Christian, in your faith, you receive God. In faith, you receive the one for whom you were made. Psalm 73 says it like this: Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If there is one thing we can learn from the pleasure of faith, it is that we must work daily to rehabilitate our view of God. For we will not draw near to God if we don't see him as our reward or as the one who rewards. How do you see God? Well, God wants us to approach him as gracious. Without a sense of his goodness, we will never seek him. John Owen says that the Father loses the company of his people because they are so ignorant of his love to them. He encourages us to, quote, learn to think of his everlasting gentleness and compassion, that our first thoughts of him would be that he is full of eternal love to us. That's the only love that God offers his children, eternal love. And brothers and sisters, if you place your faith in Christ, that love belongs to you. The author of Hebrews knows that we will shrink back from God if we don't understand his goodness. But he wants us to draw near to God. So he reminds us of God's gracious disposition to us. And so the question simply is this how you think of God? Do you relate to God as your reward and rewarder? Do you pray to God this way? Do you read scripture with the expectation that he will reward you and remind you of his everlasting love, his eternal love? Do you leverage your friendships this way? Do you take the time to encourage God's goodness, a sense of God's goodness in one another? If you're a pastor, if you're a teacher here, do you leverage your teaching and instruct our congregation in the love of God, for the love of God, because of the love of God? Do you see the pleasure of faith? Faith pleases God, and it is a pleasure for the Christian who receives God as his reward. In verse 7, we see the practice of faith. The author of Hebrews illustrates the previous point by pointing us to Noah and his life. Look again at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Genesis 6 tells us that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was a righteous man who walked with God. Noah believed in God's word about his coming judgment. Notice in Hebrews 11:1, when he says that faith is the assurance or the conviction of things not seen, Noah very much has faith that God's judgment, though he can't see it, is indeed coming. Noah looked to clear skies and good weather and said, I'm going to trust God's word, not my eyes. But the world around him didn't. He didn't look to the world, though. He looked to God. He walked with God and took pleasure in God. Noah, then, was like Moses. The author of Hebrews says this later, in Hebrews 11:26, talking about Moses. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The world around him trusted in their own riches, their own eyes, and their own resources, but for 120 long years, Noah trusted in God's word. Noah's faith worked itself out in good works. He built the ark with a godly fear. Notice it says, Hebrews 11 says, a godly fear. Christians call this a filial fear, or the fear that a son has for his father. This is not a fear because one is afraid of punishment or one is afraid because something is scary. It's a fear born of love. Sinclair Ferguson says it like this: It is a love for God which is so great that we would be ashamed to do anything which would displease or grieve him. and makes us happiest when we are doing what pleases him. That's the kind of faith we ought to have as Christians, the kind of fear, rather, that we ought to have as Christians. Through faith in God's promises, Noah was made an heir of righteousness. Noah chose the pleasures of this world. Sorry, Noah didn't do that. Noah chose the pleasures of God over the pleasures of this world. And so, the Apostle Peter calls him a herald of righteousness. A herald is a messenger or a preacher. And in this way, brothers and sisters, we're to be like Noah. We are to walk like Noah walked. Now, Robbie Bader, if you're in here, there you are. We don't mean this literally. Do not show up at my house with an ark next week. I know that you would build one or two in the next 2 weeks or so. But instead, we are to practice our faith by devoting ourselves to good work, good works, and sharing the gospel. Our lives are to be a living and breathing sermon about God's coming judgment. Noah's building of the ark was a message to the world that preached trust in God for salvation from judgment. And so our lives ought to preach the same thing. Noah spent 120 years building the ark, trusting in God for salvation. Like Noah dedicating himself to building the ark for God's sake, we too should dedicate ourselves to godliness and purity for God's sake. There is much we could say here, but I'll let Peter encourage us this way. In 2 Peter, he says this, "Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Brothers and sisters, make it your aim to pursue holy living. This is not works-based religion, but grace-filled gratitude to God. And just as importantly, we can be heralds of righteousness by sharing the good news of righteousness in Christ with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with those at Loving Choices, with family, with friends, with all of those around us. Tell them that God's judgment is coming. Remind them that God will one day come to judge sin. But Christ was sent into the world. He took on flesh. He lived the perfect life, and he died the death we deserved, and was raised, and then ascended to the Father so that we could taste life. This is a free offer for all. And if you don't know Christ but are afraid of God's judgment, turn to Christ, because he is the ark upon which we will be, the ark, the refuge that we will find from God's judgment. Do you want God is your refuge? Receive Christ by faith. Turn to him and trust in him. Draw near to him by faith. Well, God helps us to see the pleasure of faith and the practice of faith. There is a day coming where we won't have to walk by faith any longer. Gloriously, one day our faith will be made sight and our prayers will become praise. We've looked at Abraham, and we've looked at Noah, and I'd like to close with one older brother in the faith, Augustine, who closed the sermon this way. "Let this now be enough for you, to build yourselves up in Christ, to be strong in faith, to be vigilant in good works, and do not let go of the wood on which you can cross the sea." Brothers and sisters, pursue the pleasure of faith and practice your faith. Christ is coming, so be faithful to the one whose faithfulness saves you, and he will carry you across the sea into the arms of the Father who made you and loves you. Let's pray. Lord, we marvel that your love for us so often does not stir our hearts, and we confess that we want more than you. Help us, Lord, to pursue the pleasure of faith and to practice our faith in gratitude towards you for all that you've done for us in Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.